Does it matter? We oftentimes ask that question of ourselves, but we don't really know the answer. Does it matter? This is Dr. Hari Albayrani, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, and we are talking about a thought for today. Does it matter? Does it matter that your child knows that you are the boss in the family? Does it matter that your children know that the mother and father are there to train them and direct them, and they're not to be talked back to, and they're not to be discourteous to them? Does it matter that the policeman on the beat who does his job should be delighted in, appreciated, respected, honored, revered, and supported in his work? Or are we supposed to give the policeman a hard time whenever we can? Or do we tell our children, if you're naughty, I'm going to get a policeman over here and he'll beat you up and put you in jail? You know, and you know, that's sort of a false way of training children. Now, does it matter that the children in school follow what the teacher says, listening very carefully to the teacher and learning and growing and expanding their consciousness? Does that really matter? Does it matter when we adults go to night school or college or wherever, and our teacher or professor provides us with information then we follow that information and we learn and graduate? Now, when is a teacher not a teacher? Well, I don't know of any time a teacher is not a teacher. Now, you're the mother and father, and you say to your son, well, Jimmy, why don't you invite your teacher over for dinner tonight? And Jimmy says, oh, wonderful. So Jimmy goes over to the teacher's house and said, my mom and dad said they'd like to have you come over for dinner tonight because we're having something real special. And she says, well, why not? And so she comes over. And she's very pleasant, sits at the table, and has a little repartee and a little discussion of off the cuff, and very pleasant. I didn't know my teacher was, you know, so pleasant. And so then Johnny starts using bad grammar. And he's saying, I don't know, nothing ain't that, not, you know. And the teacher says, Johnny, where did you learn that? That's most interesting. That's not according to the book, but I mean, you know, I'd like to know where you learned it. Well, you know. And then Johnny goes over to his mother. Does she always have to be a teacher? Can't she ever not be a teacher? Can't she just have fun sometime and just, you know, play along? And the mother says, Johnny, you would never want a teacher who wasn't consistent at all times expecting the best out of you. You wouldn't want a teacher to be working with you who one day accepts you using bad grammar and the next day demands you use good grammar. You'd be in a very bad fix on that because you wouldn't know which day it was, you know. Whether it's a bad grammar day that she's accepting or a good grammar day that she's demanding. So always know that your teacher expects the best out of you at all times, under all circumstances. And this is the way it is. Now, just because you have familiarity with your teacher here at dinner, and you think that you can be close and be silly with your teacher, that's never so. And Johnny, the same thing is with your mommy and daddy. Just because we love you very much and we tolerate you oftentimes, that doesn't mean you can be silly and do things that are not harmonious with what you should be doing. Now, your spiritual teacher is the same way. You go to church and you swear in church and you shout in church and you run around the pews and run up in the altar and so forth. And the minister comes to the parents and says, what is your child doing? He's being obstreperous in church. He's running around, being very noisy, being very discourteous to all the worshipers here. Well, this is our church too. We can run around in our church. There's nothing sacred about this church. This church is a church of God, and God likes children, you know. Jesus said so. Yes, that's true. But Jesus also was gentle with the little children and expected the best out of them, and they gave him the best. You, as parents, have to discipline your children so that they learn to do this. Now, would you like to have the children come into the bedroom with their muddy shoes on from outside and their muddy clothing and jump up on top of your clean bed with the sheets and the blankets on it, all very nice, and then you'd have to go to bed later in the sandy, dirty bed that the kids had jumped all over? Would you like that? Oh, no, no, no. They know better than doing that. Oh, well, where did they learn to know better? Well, we told them if they didn't behave, we'd spank them. Well, that's sort of a discipline, yeah. Now, what about when they come to church? Do they know that this is God's house? It's their house too, but it's God's house. It's a place where people come to meditate in quietness and peace and listen within, commune with the God within themselves. This is a place where we sing beautiful songs and we share words together and we share ideas together. It's a place of importance. Now, if you don't teach your children that, they'll never learn respect for themselves or for others. So, pay attention to that and listen to that. And what is it you're looking at? Learning how to do what the teacher asks you to do is something that every one of us learn how to do, we're supposed to do. And if we don't follow through on that, we're going to be in trouble. We're going to be in trouble. Now, it's so easy for us to sit with our sharer, me for instance, and when I ask you a question, for you, instead of answering the question, to argue with me. And I said, the food was cold. That should have been instantly enough reason to jump up and put it into the microwave and warm it up. I said, the food looked like it was not done. The fish was red. And that would be instantly an opportunity to get up and put it in the microwave and heat it up a little more, even though it was a red fish. It was a fish that had redness inside of it. But you never argue with your teacher, even though you may be right. And I have told you so many times that San Francisco is south of San Diego, and you know that. And you say, my God, don't you know any better, Herb? San Francisco is not south of San Diego. It's north of San Diego. It's way north. No, if I say it's south of San Diego, and I'm your teacher, you pay attention, and you learn a lesson. And what is that lesson? Did anyone want to tell me? What was the lesson that you learned?
To just accept.
To just accept, but not more, but more than that.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Oh.
It doesn't matter. You do not contradict your teacher because it doesn't really matter. Now, if I say to you, we're driving to San Francisco and we're in the car and we're heading south, you might say, this is interesting, we've taken the long way around. But don't say a word, because these are all tests that you're given to see if you respect your teacher. Now, God, that teacher's so stupid. We're going to Mexico. We're not going to San Francisco. Doesn't the teacher recognize this as a stupid person? Oh, perhaps you should get another teacher. Always have confidence in your teacher 100%, regardless of how stupid or how intelligent it sounds, because there is a lesson in it. Now, when mother says to Johnny, Johnny, put your clothes away. Why? Because we want your clothes to stay nice. Why? Because, why? Because, why? Johnny, when I tell you to do something, you do it. Because I know why. You don't need to know why. You just follow orders. Johnny, come in at 7 o'clock. After you've been out playing after dinner, come in at 7 o'clock. Why, Johnny, you're not going out. You're not going out to play. Why? Well, perhaps one day you'll learn that when I tell you something, that is the rule. and that there's no why about it. And you see, some of you still have the why in your heart, because you don't think of me as a teacher. Maybe I don't act like a teacher. But maybe you don't think of me as a teacher, and because you don't think of me as a teacher, you lose the lesson. Now, the lesson is not in true or false. The lesson is what? Yeah?
Accepting.
The lesson is following instructions. The lesson is following the program. The lesson is doing what I ask. And if you follow the program with a belligerent heart, you might as well have gone the other way. Jesus tells the story of the two men, the two boys. Their father asked them to do some work, and the boy said, "No, I won't." And he didn't. And the other one, his father said, "Would you do some work?" And he said, "Yes, I will." And he didn't. Later, the boy who said he wouldn't decided he'd do it. He'd help his dad. And he came back and helped his dad. Now, who was the better of the two boys? The one that said he wouldn't and didn't, or the one who said and later did, or the one who said he would and didn't? Now, you see, there's no right or wrong, but these are statements that are made of pure logic. Now, what is it we teach in the Art and Science of Wholeness about God?
God is neither
logical nor reasonable.
God is neither logical nor reasonable. There is no logic to anything that God does. And there's no reason to anything that God does. Why does God allow a great volcano to cut down the lives of hundreds of thousands of people who have their lovely homes and farms right beneath it, when he could have had the volcanic ash go the other way? You know, if God had to have the volcano go. But you see, it wasn't God, was it? Who was it who was making the volcano, and who was it who was killing themselves? The people.
Consciousness of the people.
The people. Yeah. It's their attitudes that do this. Now, they were not disciplined. If they were disciplined, they would have said, "No, all is in divine order." And the volcano would never have spewed out its volcanic ash. If the men on the plane that were being hijacked, the men and the women, if they would have stood up and said, "No way," the hijackers would have bent right down or shot a bunch of them. Either way, it wouldn't have mattered, would it? But these people who stood up for it, who stood up for principle, who stood up for what they were taught, now I guarantee you, these people who stood up over Philadelphia in the White House, those people were not heroes. They were not great people who had inner strength and courage to stand up to these things. They were just disciplined people. Disciplined people. Because they followed the discipline. And when you follow the discipline, everything works out beautiful. And when you don't follow the discipline, then your life is just filled with all sorts of confusion. Now, people sometimes say mental illness is a terrible thing, and it is hereditary, and it's this. Sure, it's hereditary. The mother acted like a jerk, and so the kids act like a jerk, you know? The mother was without the discipline for herself, and so the kids are without discipline, or maybe it was the father. One member of the family who was very effective on the family, and so the father, without discipline, he goes blah, 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 you know, he goes off the deep end, because he has not disciplined himself, and he wants everyone to do it for him, and the children start doing that too. So, you say schizophrenia and all these mental derangements, that they're biologically from the genes and chromosomes and from all these things. Well, then why is it that all of us don't have every disease on the face of the earth? Because every disease on the face of the earth is in our body right now. It's in our body right now. But we have not turned our attention to allowing it to have power over us. Now, learning to self-discipline yourself, and that's one of our primary objects in the University of Healing, to self-discipline yourself. Yeah. You're in charge. You take charge, and when you hurt your foot for a second, "I'm home, Perk!" Instantly you say, "I'm home, Perk!" And whenever you say, I don't know something, I know that I know that I know God in me knows the answer, and you confirm it. You don't have to tell other people. You don't have to put on a show. You don't have to say the capital of Tucumcari, Mexico is Mexico, you know. You don't have to say that. You don't have to say anything. But just live it. Live it. This is not a game in which we show off to others. It's a game in which we prove to ourselves that we are disciplined and that we are in charge. So I say to you, when I say things to you, I don't really mean to start an argument or start a discussion. I'm merely saying things that are to be followed without hesitation, without question. And it's not that I need that, it's not that I want that, it's not that it makes me happy in the slightest, which I hope you know, but it helps you to build self-confidence and discipline in yourself to follow the program. I tell you what the program is, and still you don't follow the program because it sounds so logical to come back with a retort. So logical to come back with a comment and say, well, aren't you stupid though, you know? But just always, if I may say this, and I may, always follow my suggestions, whatever they may be, however illogical, unreasonable they may be, just remember, it is developing within you the ability to have self-confidence. And when I say, like the other day, clean the spatula, that's that egg turner with all those little squares in it, and it wasn't done. And then I saw it on the sink in the clean bowl there, and I thought, what is this doing here? And I brought it before you, and none of you had any responsibility for cleaning it. So if any of you had any wisdom about you, you would immediately say, oh, I'm sorry, give that here, let me clean it now, please. But no, oh, I didn't do that. It wasn't me. It must have been somebody else whose job it was to clean it. Oh, I would never put a dirty thing in the... Oh, my goodness. If I were to tell you all the times I look at the sink and see things that aren't done right, you would not be surprised, but you would think that I was nosy, you know. But don't do that to yourself. Don't ever contradict me. It's not that I want to be self-righteous and above any of you, because that's not of any concern of mine. I know where I stand in my life scale, and I'm very happy there. But I've chosen to be a sharer, a teacher with you. I've chosen to put my heart and my life and my sanity on the line for you to say silly things to you and have you not object to it, but just follow it. I'm not ever going to do anything that's going to hurt you. But you're going to do things that's going to hurt you very bad if you don't follow the program. So remember that now. It's a wonderful thing. You go to school, you follow your teacher. Your teacher says to you the most idiotic, stupid thing in the world. 2 times 2 is 4. And then she says, 2 plus 2 is 4. Who says? Why? Why should 2 plus 2 and 2 times 2 be 4? That's the same thing. Why? It's stupid. It is idiotic. It is dumb. But it is learning discipline. And once you learn the discipline of those simple little figures, you go on to other figures. And then all of a sudden, a whole system falls right into place. And you say, ah, so. But by the time you say, ah, so, you have long forgotten that you didn't accept the system in the beginning. Because the system cannot fall into place until you forget that you're against the system. And young people and adults who are against the system end up with sour stomachs, sour hearts, sour lives, and a sour life. It's really sad. So learn your self-discipline here. It doesn't matter whether you learn all the things, whether you learn how to be a minister, you learn how to be a teacher, you learn how to, but as you learn how to be yourself and have fun, self-disciplining yourself, you've got the whole world in your hands, and it's a wonderful thing to do. So think about our thought for today. Very important. It pays to follow the program and not judge the teacher. If you do that, you cut yourself right off at the pass. And so it is, and I love you.